First, one of the biggest gas deals of all time, the $400 billion one between Russia and China, which included partial currency swaps. And now China and Russia have effectively switched to domestic currencies and trading using financial tools as swaps and forwards as they seek to reduce the influence of the U.S. dollar and foreign exchange risks. Is this a sign of the end of the dollar to have come? Well, in this edition of The Debate, we'll discuss why the dollar currency is not beneficial for countries, especially when it only benefits the U.S., who at times has used it as a political tool, especially targeting BRICS countries like Russia and China.
Longtime friends and now close trade partners, Russia and China have effectively set aside the U.S. dollar and switched to local currencies in their bilateral trade using swaps and forwards. Beijing and Moscow inked a deal to ditch the U.S. money at the end of October. The agreement, which came into force on Monday, provides a currency swap of 150 billion Chinese yuan, equivalent to up to $25 billion. The two global players have long been looking to unpeg the dollar from their international trade, but the idea was boosted when Russia ran into problems. Here, at the APEC summit, which was hosted by China in November this year, Russian leader gave his blessing for a no-dollar pact with China.
I believe that settlements in national currencies between partners such as Russia and China are a very promising area of work which helps find new opportunities in bilateral trade and significantly impact global finance and energy markets.
The summit saw the two global leaders signing several agreements, including a deal between Moscow and Beijing central banks for a three-year ruble-yuan currency swap. Also, Sberbank, Russia's biggest bank, is the first to issue credit guarantees in Chinese yuan denomination. The volume of trade between Russia and China is already at $90 billion, and the two are having high hopes they could push it up to $200 billion in the next 6 years. Russia is going through hard times nowadays. Russians wake up every day to see their currency ruble falling in value against the US greenback and euro. The country's economic growth has slumped as a result of the severe impact of Western sanctions that came to hit the Russian vital sectors as the Kremlin stands accused of having a hand in the crisis in eastern Ukraine, something Moscow vehemently denies. It's becoming harder for the Russian businesses to raise finance in the West, but the life support seems to be connected. Putin believes the U.S. greenback is the loser of currency swap deal with China.
Payments in rubles and yuan are very promising. This will mean that by going to a larger scale work, the influence of the dollar in the global energy sector will objectively decline. This is not bad for the global economy, nor for the world of finance, or for the energy markets, and even for the dollar itself.
Ordinary Russians seem to be quite content with this east-west shift of policy as Putin sets his mind on the world's second largest economy. Russia has already signed a mega gas deal with China that will annually deliver 38 billion cubic meters of Russia's natural gas to the world's largest energy consumer. The two are not only geographical neighbors, but in their policies too. Both are UN Security Council veto holders and share similar policy towards many global issues, including Ukraine. Many believe the currency swap can help the two build a rising eastern power bloc.
Well, let's see what our guests think about this. Asia Desk Executive Intelligence Review, Mike Billington joins us from Leesburg. And from Foreign Policy and Focus, Ian Williams joins us from New York. Gentlemen, welcome. Mike Billington, the U.S. has to be looking at this. They've made it official here. We know that it's been coming. It's been in the works. But is this the beginning of the dollar being marginalized?
Well, the dollar is not going to collapse because of Russia and China's moves and other nations. In fact, China now has swap agreements with 20-some nations. But it's going to be destroyed by the insanity of the Western policy itself. As you know, the U.S. has been printing money at a rate unprecedented in human history. Until the quantitative easing stopped, it was about $80 billion per month. And in general, the series of bailouts of worthless gambling debts, the derivative bubble, has created a pool of well over $250 billion in the West, which cannot be paid. It's leading towards a complete breakdown crisis, which is already hitting in Europe. As you know, the Greece are about to likely pull out of the euro, which could very well finish off the euro. And the U.S. banking system is so panicked about a repeat of a far worse crisis, actually, than 2007 and 8, that they just rammed through a bill to put derivatives back under government guarantee. So this is why Russia and China are acting, and others, towards these swap agreements, to make long-term trade operations possible, and indeed setting up an alternative to the completely bankrupt Euro-American not only financial system, not just the dollar system, but the general economic decay, which is now sweeping the transatlantic, and counterposing among between themselves and amongst all of the BRICS nations, a new world economic order, a new paradigm, including, as you know, the new banking systems, the new banks they're setting up, the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank in China and the New Development Bank, which the BRICS set up last summer in Brazil. Which will come into being sometime this coming year, and provide the basis for funding the tremendous development projects being launched all over the world by largely through China and Russia and India's input.
Okay. Let's get a reaction from Ian Williams. Ian Williams, which track do you want to go? The economic track in terms of an analysis, or the economic political significance of this announcement, because obviously this reverberates in both arenas.
It's a mixture. You can't disentangle the economics and the politics, especially where Russia is concerned, and even China. For China, this deal is just business. There they are next to Siberia, which is empty and which in the past they have sort of looked quite hungrily at. They've got a lot of people, and there's Russian Siberia with lots of empty land, with very few people and lots of natural resources. There's a sort of, in the geopolitical terms, there's a natural conflict waiting to happen there. So this isn't an alliance of love between them. It's an alliance of expedience. They have gas. The Chinese want the gas. They're prepared to pay for it, and the Russians can use the Chinese yuan to buy the consumer goods that they're not making themselves anymore, because they've become such a lopsided, deindustrialized economy. But you know, on the larger scale, as the U.S. economy's relative size to the others erodes, then obviously the dominance of the dollar is going to go. And I was thinking, Riley, as we were speaking. At the time that the planes hit the World Trade Center, I was a few hundred yards away writing an article on the impending downfall of the US dollar. And I was saying the same things. So this isn't the beginning. This is the end of the beginning. These things have been happening. The euro was a bigger threat, I do believe, to the dominance of the dollar than the ruble and yuan in any combination. And I do think that the euro, for all of its faults, has actually got more stability than many people give it credit for. So it's very difficult to disentangle. I don't think there's a new world order. Certainly the old banking system it's run by crazed ideologues who mistake expediency for eternal principles. They think that their right to make money is a sacred economic principle, and it isn't. Unfortunately, far too many governments in the West agree with them and let the bankers run the show. At least in Russia, the government controls the oligarchs rather than the other way around, it would appear. And similarly in China, they're on license. Here in the West, the oligarchs run the government fairly nakedly in terms of banking and finance. Neither of these makes for great stability. It doesn't make for good decision making. And my biggest worry about the U.S. currency and the rest of it is the same principle as U.S. politics. The decision-making process is so locked up in bitter internecine struggle that it's very difficult to see any rational policy coming out of it. It's very likely that a crisis will come. It's very unlikely that you'll get anything like Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the New Deal to come and rescue it. Obama did a relative amount of good, but he was completely hamstrung in trying to escape from the recession. Okay. The European Union is the same. It has neoliberal German bankers who are stifling recession, who are stifling recovery in Europe.
Very well.
Once again, this is political decisions affecting economic outcomes.
Very well. Mike Bamsey, I'm going to come with a question to you, but first let's take a quick time out. Listen to some of the viewer comments. There have been quite a few of them, and then we'll come back to the debate.
It is one step forward for the world without dollar, and we expect oil-producing countries like Iran will join the table. But we do not expect Saudi Arabia to do so, since it's already passed its high peak of oil production. Bravo, Russia and China. In international business, money swap of this nature will only make China carry the burden of ruble, and they will share the loss in value of ruble instead of Russia alone. It will not affect dollar. By the way, how many things does US import from China? For Russia, the pain continues. It was inevitable. Obama just pushed them to hurry up. The dollar won't crash. It will be just one currency amongst many and not the world's reserve currency. I don't think China or Russia want to see America implode. America is too much of an important market to totally ignore. Many countries have replaced dollar by a basket of currencies or a common currency of their group. This trend is gaining momentum by the days. Times are changing. There are many countries around the world which are not happy with the US foreign policies. They are probably waiting for a chance like this. Whether this move is effective or ineffective is not important. What is important is the beginning of thinking of how to get rid of Western dominance and how to put that in practical form.
Some of the viewer comments there. Mike Billington, you talked about a new world order. Ian Williams seems to disagree with you on that, but that has been something that has been cited many times. Let's go with that topic, because as it is, BRICS, their GDP is advancing at a much faster rate than other countries combined, and we're also looking at, obviously, a rise in their population. Do you think, therefore, that BRICS can represent, especially with that $100 billion development bank, a viable alternative to the present U.S.-dominated world economic system?
Well, it is an alternative to the system, but keep in mind that when Obama was at the APEC meeting in Beijing, Xi Jinping made a very, very clear appeal to Obama, saying, you're trying to exclude us, you're trying to surround Russia and China militarily and economically, but we invite you to join us. And Mr. Modi in India also invited Obama to come and speak at the National Day in January. The point is that the BRICS nations are indeed a new paradigm. They have recognized that the West is self-destructing. The idea that Obama has done anything good is not true. He has demonstrated repeatedly, has worked hand in hand with the same people that Bush and Cheney represented